KJAN Sports.
It's time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker says the defensive line may have more depth than expected after losing several key players to the NFL. A.J. Epinesa and Chauncey Golston step into full-time spots at defensive end after combining for 14 sacks last season.
To me, you know, we're building depth, and I think we got some other guys that are coming that have a chance to go and help us. I'm really feeling really good about our front, even though they might not have much experience, but I still think that might be our strong part of our defense is the upfront guys.
Epinesa led the Big Ten in sacks as a sophomore, and Parker says he's ready to become an every down player.
I think he knows what he has to do, and his leadership is showing, and he's got to keep on growing. And you know, for a big guy like that and having all this publicity on him, I think he's done a good job of handling it. He's a humble guy and a really good football player. And, you know, I think he's a real good team player. He knows what he has to do, and I think he's been doing a very, very good job.
Epinesa has seen the depth develop early in fall camp.
I mean, we got some great guys coming in, and behind me and Chauncey, we got John Wagner and Zach Van Valkenburg, the graduate transfer, who's he's done some really good things. And then we got Imani Jones and Joe Evans, who are also backing us up back there. And we got some guys that can play. And after the D tackles, we got Schulte, we got Davion, we got Noah Shannon. We got guys that can play, and it's just a matter of getting them reps in practice and getting them reps on the field.
Epinesa feels the Hawkeyes will field another solid defense.
I think we could be pretty good. We have some things we have to fix up, and we have some holes that need to be filled. But I think overall we can compete and we can play with anybody.
Iowa opens up August 31st against Miami of Ohio in a night game at Kinnick Stadium, and we'll have that game for you along with all the other contests this fall here on KJAN. Drake defensive tackle Gavin Dineen says a new season means a new challenge for the Drake football team. The Bulldogs drew a lot of praise after a near upset of Iowa State to close out 2018, and now they look to challenge for a Pioneer Football League title.
Obviously, there's that belief throughout the program that we can do great things here, but I think it was a nice little reminder that, like Nathan Klaberg said last year, we're not just a bunch of nerds running around out there, we're Division I football players too. So I think it was definitely a good reminder that we have a lot of talent, but also I think it's important that we know that was last year, but it's a new season. Let's do some big things this year.
Dineen says former defensive coordinator Todd Stepsis has made a quick transition to head coach.
So I've been pretty lucky. I've been able to be with him my 3 years so far. So him being the defensive coordinator, so it's been really cool kind of see him take that bigger role and kind of give the offensive players what we've had for so long. So kind of just see him, like you said, branch out a little bit more and just kind of take on that bigger role. It's been awesome to see.
The Bulldogs have another challenging schedule with North Dakota on the schedule, and they'll visit a South Dakota State team that's ranked third in the preseason FCS poll.
Anytime you get to play with the best of the best in our FCS level, it's definitely a good chance, like Coach Tefsa said, to see where you're at as a unit, make adjustments, and then really just hone in on those conference schedule teams. So, yeah, definitely just work out a few kinks, see where we're at, and then, like I said, just take the PFL by storm.
A North Dakota matchup is on the road, and that's how Drake will open up their season on August 31st. A federal judge has approved an amended settlement in a class action concussion lawsuit against the NCAA that will establish a 50-year medical monitoring program for college athletes. The settlement was announced Monday by Hagens Berman, the law firm representing the plaintiffs. The case originated with a claim against the NCAA in 2011 by former Eastern Illinois football player Adrian Arrington. The case was later consolidated with other claims. Initially, a settlement was reached in 2016. It created $70 million in funding for monitoring of current and former college athletes for brain trauma. Arrington opposed that agreement because it did not pay damages. According to Hagens Berman, the settlement approved by U.S. District Judge John Z. Lee changes the NCAA's approach to concussion treatment and establishes a $5 million fund for concussion research. In NFL news, Oakland Raiders receiver Antonio Brown has lost his grievance with the NFL over his use of an old helmet that is no longer certified as safe to use for practice or play. The arbitrator issued the ruling Monday after holding a hearing last week with Brown, representatives from the league, and the players' union. Brown said in a statement on Twitter that he disagreed with the decision. He also said he looks forward to getting back on the field as soon as he is fully healthy. Brown has not participated in a full practice for the Raiders after starting training camp on the non-football injury list with injuries to his feet that reportedly came from frostbite suffered while getting cryotherapy treatment in France. Brown was cleared to practice on July 28th and participated in part of two sessions, but wasn't around the team last week when he had a grievance hearing with the NFL over his helmet. A petition reportedly has been filed with the National Labor Relations Board seeking to create a separate union for NFL running backs. According to the website Law 360, the petition was filed Thursday by the International Brotherhood of Professional Running Backs and focuses on the shorter careers for players at that position. The petition says these employees have unique career structures and the current one-size-fits-all units is inappropriate. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the state is working on lease extensions with the New Orleans Saints designed to keep the NFL club in the Superdome for up to 30 additional years. Edwards says the lease talks are running in conjunction with plans for extensive and needed renovations to the Superdome. The Louisiana State Bond Commission is scheduled on Thursday to consider approval of about $500 million in financing for that project. The Jacksonville Jaguars left tackle Cam Robinson is back on the field. He's been removed from the physically unable to perform list 2 days after coach Doug Marrone said he didn't believe Robinson would be ready for the season opener. Robinson went through individual drills for the first time in nearly a year. The second-round draft pick from Alabama in 2017 tore a knee ligament last September. Browns defensive end Chad Thomas sustained a neck injury in practice and is undergoing further testing at a hospital. Thomas was immobilized on a backboard for precaution and carted off the field after getting injured yesterday. The team said he has movement and feeling in all of his extremities. Brown was taken to the hospital for more testing and examination. The Browns drafted Thomas in the third round in 2018 out of Miami. The New England Patriots have acquired tight end Eric Saubert from the Atlanta Falcons in exchange for a conditional draft pick. The Patriots have questions at tight end following Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Veteran Ben Watson will be suspended for the first 4 games of the season following a positive test for a banned substance. The Oakland Raiders cornerback Nevin Lawson has been suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances. The league announced the decision on Monday, 1 week after Lawson revealed he had tested positive despite never knowingly taking a substance. Lawson signed a 1-year deal with the Raiders in March after 5 seasons with the Detroit Lions. The Minnesota Vikings have hired Toronto Blue Jays executive Andrew Miller as their chief operating officer. Miller ran the Blue Jays business operations for 4 years, including capital improvements at Rogers Center and at the team's spring training facilities. Before that, he spent a decade in the Cleveland Indians organization in a variety of jobs. In high school baseball news, Harlan's Brett Sears is not only a first-team All-State Class 3A pick, but was part of the super-team All-State as well, the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association making those announcements. Sears finished as the All-State team captain in Class 3A and also as a super-team All-State selection. The super-team is made up of the best in all, regardless of class. Luke Shaben of Harlan also was picked for the super-team by the Baseball Coaches Association. Among the first team selections in the different classes on the teams this year, catcher Connor Lang of Missouri Valley made it in Class 2A, and sophomore utility player Cy Patterson of St. Albert was a Class 1A first team All-State selection. Among the second team All-State selections, Connor Bruck of Harlan as a utility player in Class 3A. Also, Kyle Christensen, an outfielder from Trainer in Class 2A. Also in Class 2A, Blake Hall, a third baseman from Underwood. In Class 1A, Lance Wright, an outfielder from St. Albert, were all second team selections this year. Well, Yankees hitters are showing no mercy to the Orioles. Gleyber Torres hit a pair of 3-run homers to help New York complete a doubleheader sweep of Baltimore with an 11-8 win at Yankee Stadium yesterday. Torres also hit a home run in the first and now has a total of 13 against the Orioles this season. And he set a big league record with his 5th multi-homer game against a team in a season, breaking a tie with Ralph Kiner, Gus Zernial, and Roy Sievers. Didi Gregorius, Gio Urshela, and Cameron Maben all hit home runs in the Yankees' 8-5 victory in the afternoon, while first baseman Mike Ford also drove one over the fence in the nightcap. As a team, New York stretched its record to 59 home runs against Baltimore this season, while the AL East leader's winning streak against the Orioles has grown to 14 games. Elsewhere around the league yesterday, Carlos Santana homered, leading off the 9th inning, sending the Indians to a 6-5 win over the fast-fading Boston Red Sox, and that pops Cleveland back into first place in the AL Central. They're alone there for the first time since April 19th. Trey Turner and Matt Adams homered. Eric Fetty pitched well after allowing a solo shot in the game's first pitch, and the depleted Washington Nationals held on to beat the Cincinnati Reds 7-6. Brandon Drury hit his first career grand slam. Justin Smoke had a 2-run homer among his 3 extra base hits, and the Toronto Blue Jays routed the Texas Rangers 19-4 yesterday. Jake Lamb, Nick Ahmed, and Carson Kelly homered in a 4-run 6th inning as the Arizona Diamondbacks rallied for an 8-6 win over the reeling Colorado Rockies. Zach Greinke's second start with the Houston Astros has been postponed by rain. The Astros were scheduled to begin a three-game series against the White Sox in Chicago, but the rain started to pick up in the afternoon, and the game was quickly called. They'll play a doubleheader today. Mitch Keller earned his first Major League win, and the Pittsburgh Pirates snapped an eight-game losing streak with a 10-2 win over the Angels. And Avisail Garcia had a two-run homer among his three hits, and Matt Duffy had four hits and three RBIs for the Tampa Bay Rays in a 10-4 win over the Padres. Also, Major League Baseball will open its 2020 season on March 26th, its earliest start other than the international games. The schedule also features an April series in Puerto Rico between the New York Mets and the Miami Marlins. Globe Life Field, the new home of the Texas Rangers, will open March 31st. The commissioner's office said all 30 teams could play on opening day for the first time since 1968. The 2020 regular season is to end September 27th, putting the World Series on track to run from October 20th through the 28th. The All-Star Game is at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on July 14th. The Cubs and the Cardinals will play two games in London in June, while the Yankees and White Sox will play August 13th at a ballpark next to the Field of Dreams in Dyersville. That's a check of sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.